Hi, friends. I'm Leni Heiss, and this is episode 98 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. Well, it's week 6 of COVID-19 stay at home. I have to say that although I wish that it was different, there are a few really cool things that have come out of this time at home. Time with our families, creativity blossoming, and at Moms in Prayer, I have loved the encouraging videos focused on our weekly attribute of God across all our social media platforms. Did you see last week's video with Sally Burke and Susan Shepherd? You won't miss them if you are following Moms in Prayer on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're at Moms in Prayer International on every platform, and I'm at Leni Heiss. We love engaging with you. Today's show sponsor is Compassion International. Get ready to be blown away as you learn more about their mom and baby program in the middle of our show. Susan Alexander Yates is the author of many books about family discipleship, but her newest is Cousin Camp, and you're going to love hearing her story. Show notes for this episode, number 98, including the things we discussed today and ways to connect with our show sponsor, can be found on the Moms in Prayer website at momsinprayer.org. So just relax and listen close. Now, let's welcome our guests to our show. Well, Susan Yates, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Oh, thank you, Lee. I'm so excited to be with you this morning.
It is a delight to see someone across the screen right now. We're still in the middle of COVID-19, but this morning, we're not alone. We're looking at each other.
We are. We're together. And, you know, that's one of the great things that's happening. I think people are coming together more and more.
I love that so much. Well, introduce yourself to our audience.
Thank you. Well, I'm Susan Yates, and I am actually the mother of 5. We had 5 children in 7 years, including a set of twins, which were a surprise at the end. So I quickly spiraled out of control. Today, our kids are all grown. They're all married. And we actually have 21 grandchildren, which I know is crazy. And that includes a set of quads. That ran the numbers up pretty quickly. But our kids are spread out. We have 2 in Tennessee. We have 2 in different parts of Virginia. And we have 1 in North Carolina. So one of my husband's goals and mine all our lives has been that, you know, you start praying for your kids as you did before they're born. And prayer has always been pretty simple. Our family vision has been pretty simple. And that is that they'd love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and soul. And that they'd love each other. And because that comes out of the second commandment is that they would love others, you know, more than themselves. And so our siblings, our family, are our closest neighbors. That's been our simple family vision. And, you know, you can take it in all sorts of directions from there, how to care for your neighbor. But our heart's desire has been that our kids would love the Lord and love each other. And one of the fun things as grandparents is we can get away with saying things and doing things that often parents can't.
I know that's the truth.
Because you have teenagers and, you know, grandparents aren't so likely to get the roll of the eye that a mom does. Oh, mother, really? We have a little more freedom in shooting straight to the gut and then saying things that parents can't get away with.
I love that. Well, Susan, at what point did you begin praying for the generations of your family? It wasn't just your kids all of a sudden, and I've read your words about this, but praying for this next generation, I don't know that my mind has really crossed to my grandchildren until the last few years when I realized, you know, I was starting to like babies again. Yeah. Like, I don't want any more of my own, but yeah. I would like to hold some. Then all of a sudden I was like, we're closer to grandchildren than we are to babies. Okay, now I'm thinking about grandbabies. Yeah. So when did that happen for you? When did you start to have this conversation?
Well, we both come from Christian families, which was a help. Now, they weren't perfect families. You know, there are no perfect families. We all mess up.
Absolutely.
Amazingly. But I knew that I had a praying grandmother, and that had a great influence on my life. So praying for our own kids began when we began to have kids. When we had our first baby, Allison, little girl, I already began to pray for her husband if the Lord would have her marry. And he doesn't have everybody marry, but if he would, I began to pray for her husband and the parents that were raising him, because I was really secretly hoping somebody was praying for me because yep. I needed it. So we began to pray for our kids when they were very young and their spouses and sort of just the general next flow was to begin to pray one day. And this really didn't happen until our kids were your age, the age of your kids. You know, you're hitting those teen years, and then you are thinking about the next generation. So we began to pray down the generations. And I remember actually Jim Dobson, back in the early days when he was just beginning his ministry, shared that he had prayed down his generations forever until the Lord comes again. And so that was just an idea. I thought, well, I want to do that. He's a wise man. So that's what we began to do. And so now I'm praying for my great-grandchildren and theirs to come as well.
It's so rich. I wonder what you would say to our listeners right now who do not have this legacy of faith that you have had, and that they're starting on this first generation. They're right. Driving the stake in the ground. What do you say to the woman who's listening who just hasn't had that?
You know, that's what's so exciting about our God, because no matter what you come from, you can be the first of a generation of healthy families. Redemption begins with you. And that's incredibly exciting. And I have seen that over and over and over in the lives of some of my friends who come from some of the messiest backgrounds you can imagine. And I think a couple of things help. I think one of the things that helps is, first of all, obviously to realize that our God redeems. One of the things I like to share with moms is, I think, Lee, we all, if we're really honest, feel like we have ruined our kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, over and over again, we feel like we've ruined our kids. And it's really important that we realize that our ability to ruin our kids is not nearly as great as God's power to redeem them.
Oh, man.
I'm sure there's a mom out there today who's saying to herself, I just ruined this child for life. But you know what? Your power, your ability to ruin that child is not nearly as great as God's power to redeem. So I think we need to write that down and keep it in our forefront.
Tattoo it to our hands. I'm not sure, but I just
write it, put it on your refrigerator. But one of the things that helps is to seek out a mentor, someone who is a season ahead of you in parenting. So if you are dying in a pile this morning with toddlers, you need a friend whose kids are like the age of your kids, 10, 11, 12, 13, a little bit ahead of you, who can say, you're going to make it, you're going to be okay. And when you're in the teen years, you need a mom mentor who's a bit ahead of you, who's been there, who appreciates your agony, but who can give you hope. Because what we are missing is perspective. Mm. We're missing perspective. And we just see our failures, and we look at that other mother who seems to have it all together. Well, nobody has it all together. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Behind every one of those faces is a mom who feels like a failure.
Mm-hmm. When I was reading this morning, I was thinking about another family that lives around the corner that their kids are not on the internet right now. They're not watching TV. They're not using their cell phones. They're out taking family hikes every day. And then I just thought of something that I've heard you say, which is like, we cannot compare to the other family. Yeah. We're just all doing our best before the Lord, trying to discern. And my friend Emily Freeman says, comparison kills community.
It does. That's a wise statement.
And in God's kingdom, we should just decide not to compare and do what works for our families, right?
That's right. You can't look at that other person who seems like her marriage is perfect, her kids are perfect, she dresses perfectly, her house is bound to be clean. You know, we do that all the time. Open her closet door, it's chock full of mess. My sister loves to use the expression, there's always data missing. You don't know what's going on behind someone else's presentation. We're all a mess to a degree. But that's what God loves. Families are messy, and God loves to bring beauty out of ashes.
Oh, man. And isn't that what we see throughout Scripture, is a bunch of broken families that somehow God is redeeming?
God is redeeming. God is redeeming. And I think the thing that's really difficult for moms, and I found this so difficult raising five little people, is you kill yourself trying to teach them to be friends with each other, trying to get rid of sibling rivalry, and you just don't see any progress. And really, you don't see much progress until the later teen years. And that's what's discouraging, because it's input, input, input during those early years. And you don't begin to see the results often until the later teen years. Mm-hmm. So to young moms, I'd say, hang in there. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep teaching them how to respect one another's person, how to use proper speech, how to respect one another's property. And don't be discouraged because you're not seeing results. It takes forever. Let me just give you a real short example. Our daughter Allison, who's the oldest, has a younger brother 2 years below her, the next one in our lineup of five, and they could not stand each other growing up. They could not stand each other. And I just despaired. Lord, I've prayed so hard for my kids to be friends with each other, and they're just not. Are these two ever going to get along? And it wasn't until Allison's senior year in high school, when John was a sophomore, that they began to communicate. And I remember they decided to go to prom together as double date. And I could not believe it. I mean, they were just going with friends. But I remember walking by her bedroom one night, and there were Allison and John curled up in her bed together talking about their day. And I just burst into tears. I said, Lord, I never thought this would happen when they were growing up. So sometimes we just have to keep doing it and keep doing it and hanging in there until we see God's blessing.
Oh man, that brings so much hope. Hey friends, we're gonna press pause right here because we wanna take a minute to tell you about today's show sponsor.
Moms in Prayer is excited to tell you about Compassion International's Mom and Baby Sponsorship Program. Life begins in the womb, but the course of a child's future is shaped by the environment outside. Poverty can have a devastating impact on both a child's chances of survival and their long-term growth. In the developing world, too many women and children are needlessly dying or denied a healthy start in life from preventable diseases, hunger, and other poverty-related issues. Compassion's Mom and Baby Sponsorship Program takes a personal approach to protecting women and ensuring that their babies reach their potential. By working through the local church, trained community implementers come alongside mothers to help them access life-saving medical support, hygiene, food, and education that they need to thrive. We are motivated to care for the women and children in these communities by our love for Christ. By praying, worshiping, and studying the Bible together, the local church can demonstrate to those within the program just how precious they are in the eyes of God. Join us in providing life-giving support for these families by sponsoring a mom and baby unit today. Visit compassion.com/momsinprayer to find a mom and baby waiting to be matched with you. Sponsor a mom and baby online, and you will forever be part of changing their story.
Susan, you are a creative. If I have to think of a word to describe you, it's certainly a creative mother. Actually, you're famous for Cousin Camp. Tell me about Cousin Camp.
Oh, thanks, Lee. Well, because we have so many grandchildren and they live in different places, as we began to look at our family, and again, going back to the goal that we wanted our kids to love each other and we wanted them to know each other. And it's really hard when you don't live in the same place.
Yeah.
And even if you do live in the same place, there can be a tendency in our crazy world today of going in so many directions that you never actually see each other. So we thought, what can we do as the grandparents? And we decided that we would have one time a year where we would bring all the grandchildren together. And we decided, because again, here I had an older mentor, a gal who was about 10 years ahead of me in parenting experience. And she had had grandma camps. And I said, Judy, tell me everything. And she said, well, Susan, first of all, have it begin when they're 4 years old. Don't let them come until they're four, because you really want kids that sleep through the night, that are potty trained.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That are somewhat obedient. Now, I took her advice because she was dealing with a bunch of kids, and I knew I would be as well because we had so many. But I want to just say right up front, in my book, I use lots of examples of people who do their camps with much younger children. So there's lots of a variety of ways to do this. And what you have to do is you have to decide what is best for you. So for our first cousin camp, we had all the kids that were 4 years old and up. And that was really just five kids represented by three different families. And we had them come in. We have a little tiny farm, a farmette by Midwest standards. We have a little house in the country. And we had the kids come in for 3 days. Well, actually, our first camp was just three days and two nights. After that, we extended it every year since for 3 nights and 4 days. The parents drop them off. Parents are not allowed at camp. And we have a schedule. We have activities. We have Bible studies in the morning. One of the traditions we started right off the bat at Cousin Camp, you can have a camp anywhere too. That's another thing I talk about in the book. We happen to have a little farm, but you can have a camp at a house in the city. You can have a camp in a condo. You can have a camp anywhere. But I bought really cheap journals at the dollar store, and I glued a picture to the front of each journal for each child. And so these are the things the kids pull out in the morning when we do our family Bible study. And another thing that has been very popular is we have a buddy system. And actually, Lee, this has been one of the most surprising things to me. We assign an older cousin, a younger cousin, to be their buddy for camp. And I did this actually not the first year because I thought we could manage five, but as the numbers grew very quickly, I realized we couldn't. And we needed the kids. Again, this is character building. We wanted each of the children to learn how to reach out to somebody else. So that's the character piece we were working on. But also, we just plain needed help. And so the older buddies will teach the younger kids how to fill their water bottle at a certain sink where they pull up a stool. They help them during Bible study time in the morning, write in their journals or color pictures that represent our theme verse. They help them fill their plates at our messy buffet lunches. And one of the funniest things about the buddy system is inevitably I will get a call in the spring from one of my grandchildren and it'll go like this. Gee, they call us Gee and Poppy. Gee, I want to know who's going to be my big buddy this year and who's going to be my little buddy.
So they have a buddy in both directions.
Once they're older, okay. Once they're 6 or 7 or 8, then they take on a little buddy as well. But primarily it's been the older buddies having the little buddies. And it's been very special. Our journals, our camp journals live at our house because otherwise if they went home with the kids, they get lost.
Right.
So one of the purposes of the journals is that each year at camp, and we've had camp now for 11 years, year at camp, the kids pull out their old journals and they look at how they wrote their handwriting 6, 7 years ago. And it's hysterical. They love the journals. They run to the shelf where the journals are and pull them out. Mm. So we have 21 journals now on a shelf.
That's so rich. Okay, so what does entertaining this many grandkids for 4 days look like?
Well, it looks like a lot of planning. And actually, in my book, I go through how to plan a camp. And one of the things that we have realized is so often when we plan anything from an event to a ministry event, my husband happens to be a pastor, to our family life, we think event and we pray up and we plan the event. And then when it's over and we're thrilled if it went well. But I think there's a different philosophical way to plan something so that it has lasting effects. And so we learned from, again, an older couple who were mentors to us, Chuck and Kathy Miller. We learned to think needs first, to make a column on a piece of paper and write down the names of each of the participants. So you'd write down the names of your grandchildren you want coming, or perhaps you're doing this for neighborhood kids. It works for anybody. It works in any situation. What are the needs of this particular child socially, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually? And we think through, we talk about this kid, and often we have to call the parents if we haven't seen the child. And we say, well, what are the social emotional needs of this child of yours this year that you're looking at? And so we think through that grid and we actually write down, well, this 4-year-old coming's emotional needs is he's really afraid to be away from home and he's going to be a little nervous. So that's an emotional need. So we think needs first. And then in the next column, we think goals. Okay, what's a goal for this newbie? We call the new campers the newbies. What's the goal for his newbie? His goal is that he probably sleeps on the floor with his siblings so he has some comfort because he has the emotional need not to feel left. We pick his buddy carefully who has a real sensitivity towards a younger child. So the goals, that really dictates, like, even sleeping. What are the goals? And then program. So you want your program to be geared to the needs and goals. And I go through this in much greater detail in the book, and I give you a template for how to write down your own people that you will be hosting. And what happens with this is it enables us to have a program. And so this means the program changes every year because the kids' ages change. We keep some staples because the kids love traditions, but it changes every year. And it enables you to have a camp or a family reunion, and this works just in extended family reunions, that meets actual needs and that has more of the potential to having a lasting impact than just being an event that's over and everybody goes home. So I think philosophically to begin to think in a different frame is helpful.
Actually, this is exactly what we found in our parenting journey as well, is the more strategic you can be, the more reflective actually that you are, the more growth you can see happen in your family because you're asking and praying and working towards something. My husband and I have what we call a quarterly review, but four times a year we sit down and we look through all those needs that our kids have and we say, all right, Lord, show me again what I need to see in this season. And I mean, we're not perfect, but we've been doing it for the last 10 years. And so we're charting something, which is just easier than having it happen by happenstance, you know?
That's right. That's so wisely. And I'll tell you, we taught our kids this grid when they got to high school. So every August, you kind of think of August as the beginning of the year when you have
totally.
Kids. We would have them write down their needs and their goals for the coming year. And they'd groan and they'd roll their eyes and they'd say, oh no, it's needs and goals time. But that became our prayer list for each other for the coming year. And even today with our adult children, we have check-in, you know, it's by email now, but send us your needs and goals for you personally for the coming year, because that forms our prayers. And send us the needs and goals for each of your children for the coming year. And that enables us as grandparents to pray specifically for a need. Like there's a grandchild who's just having a really hard time making friends. And so our prayer for that one grandson is that he would find one really good friend this year. So I think being intentional, and also then we just don't go to prayer overwhelmed. We have a script, which is also very helpful. And it encourages our prayer life because we can look back and see, oh, wow, God, you did answer that. Or, oh, wow, this is one I got to keep praying about.
I love the strategy involved in that. And as you well know, that's right up our alley at Moms in Prayer. So, Susan, you have these 4 days together. You do devotions together. You spend this time. But I'm also wondering for those families or maybe our grandmas that are listening right now and saying, I don't know that this could happen in my family. My kids don't get along or the cousins don't get along. Well, what would you say to her?
That's the real reality in today's world. So I'm so glad you mentioned that. And I'd say, first of all, just start praying. And if you have two of your own children who do not particularly get along, it's likely that they would be more open to your having their children together. And sometimes it takes a next generation to bring about healing. Say you have three kids and they have young children, but two of them don't like each other and don't really want to be together. The parents are not invited anyway. Ask them permission. Could I have your children? And you can do it for a short period of time. Could I have the children for 3 days with their cousins? Because we love all our grandchildren and we would like our grandchildren to know each other, even if you guys are having a hard time. So first you extend grace. You always begin it with grace and say, could you, this would be a great gift to me and your grandfather. Could we have your kids for a couple of days? And we're going to invite the cousins too. So I think you move in grace with relationships that work. And what often happens is the cousins, the next generations, have so much fun together that they want to do it again next year. And they want to do it again the next year. And then over time, the parents become more open. Now, it doesn't happen quickly, and often we're disappointing, but you're sowing seeds. It's just like the parable of the sower. And this is where, as humans, we have such a hard time. We want to sow a seed, and we want to see a giant plant by next week. But, you know, that just doesn't happen in growing families. We have to plant the seeds and we have to nurture them and water them. And that comes with grace. We just pour grace upon grace upon grace. And we thank our kids. Thank you for letting us have your children. And here are some positive things we saw in your kids. Man, we saw your six-year-old share with his younger cousin. He has a kind and thoughtful heart. And you guys must be doing something right as parents. You're amazing. So we need to affirm where we can. And, you know, we'll have selfish kids. I mean, we've had to pull apart fighting boys. So we're a very normal family.
Yep.
But you err on the side of grace. And another thing that we do is we always get a prayer team behind us. So Lee, I have about six girlfriends that I ask to pray for those 4 days. To pray that I won't lose it with a particular child who's being obstinate, to pray for different needs of different children. So I have at least four prayer warriors praying for us while we're having cousin camp, praying against trips to the ER, all those things that can go wrong.
Yep.
So to have a prayer team is really important. And I know that's right up your alley.
Well, it's so wise, too. I mean, just the enemy is working to destroy families because family is where we nurture faith best if we're doing it right, right?
Yeah, right.
So we are stuck inside right now. Some of us are in condos and some of us are in apartment buildings and some of us are on many farms. I live on a Christian camp, so my kids have tons of room to play and grow. But in the middle of this time, I'm pretty sure that grandparents and grandkids everywhere are planning their reunions right now. You know, when we finally get to see our grandkids, what's one easy step they could take right now while they're waiting and they don't know when this will end?
Well, I'd say two things. One is I want to just encourage you to get through this week with your kids.
Amen.
And let me give you a couple of ideas. If you have little children, one of the things that's discouraging for us is we don't have vision. When we don't have a vision, and this relates to this week, and it also relates to this summer or whenever we are able to have a reunion. So perhaps you're a mother of toddlers or young children and you're stuck at home, kids 10 and under, say. And you're dying, what can I do? Well, do something crazy like have a backwards day. Mm-hmm. We sleep at the foot of our bed. We sleep with our clothes on. We walk backwards. Have a silly meal where you make Jell-O and have to eat it with chopsticks. Have breakfast at supper. You can call it crazy day and you can just do everything crazy and engage the kids. You want the kids to have a piece of this. Say, okay, Wednesday is going to be crazy day. Let's think of everything crazy we can do. So that builds some fun when you're stuck inside. And if you are a young mom as well with young kids, get another mother in on this and then have your kids talk to their kids about, well, what are you doing? Here's an idea we're doing so that you're creating vision for the whole family just for one day this week. One of the things that we do at camp, and this you thinking ahead, is we have an affirmation box and we have the kids notice something in one of their cousins that they have done. And it may simply just be sharing a toy and writing it down on a piece of paper and putting it in the affirmation box. Now you can do this at home as a family. I would say adopt secret pals for the next week. And make it a secret. You know, we've all done secret Valentines. Well, it can be anytime. Okay, this is going to be stuck at home secret week. And you'd have to assign these, draw from a hat, each person's name, parents included, and do sweet things for that person throughout the week. And at the end of the week, we'll have a celebration and we'll eat lots of fun food and we'll reveal our secret pals. Anything from doing someone else's chores, and you have to be really sneaky because you can't see what they're doing, and you can, or you can leave post-its that exclaim I love you because. So those are just some ideas for the moms who are stuck at home with little people.
Those are great ideas.
If you're stuck at home with bigger people, it's a great time to do some creative things that you never have time to do when you're carpooling kids all over Michigan or Washington or Florida or California. Design your family crest. You know, in the old days, they had family crests. Think of the character traits that you want to emphasize your family. Get out paper and pencil and be really creative. Okay, what's our family motto going to be if you've never had a family motto? Have a cook-off and have two teenagers prepare a meal. Divide up the household into two people doing the different dinner during the week. This will really relieve mom. We have a nephew who just did a challenge, a dance-a-thon, and he did about a 20-second filmed himself dancing to crazy music and is sending it around, you know, just on cell phones to the cousins. And now they're all competing. So those are some ideas that you can do. And there's a whole lot more ideas in the book, but if you're stuck at home for now. So let's talk about the then. This is the now, but we need hope for the future. And one of the blessings out of this being confined at home is I think for many of us, we do value family more because we can't see them. And we do long even more for the time when we can be together. So I would begin just through email or chatting on the phone to talk to siblings, your adult siblings, and say, when can we get our whole family together? If your parents are still available and healthy and able, talk to them and say, hey, mom, dad, we want to plan a family get together. And what would be the best thing? And again, here, Lee, it's different for every family. Do you want to have everyone, parents and children? We have actually a family camp that follows cousin camp. And so just because getting all our kids together, once we're together, we need to kind of, you know, make it happen, because pulling people in our family together several times a year is just not going to work because of distances. So the parents drop the kids off for cousin camp and they leave, and they're thrilled to leave, but they leave with the ones that are younger than four. And then at the end of camp, they come back for four more days, and we have a whole family camp. And I give ideas for this in the book as well. But think through what would work best for your family. I would really encourage families doing this to start small. Just do a few days, make it easy, make it simple, divide up responsibilities. I'd love for grandparents to read the book, but I think if you're a parent, you've got to be really sensitive about how you give this book to your mom or dad. You don't want to make them feel guilty. Oh, this is something you've got to do. And I think when someone reads the book, as you know, they'll see lots of different options. I have a single aunt who does things for not only her nieces and nephews, but her neighborhood kids. There are people who do camp just for two. I have friends who decided to do one for just the little girl grandchildren one year. And it was 24 hours. And then the next year, they were going to have the boys. So there's a lot of diversity in how you do this. But I would say begin the conversation now, because again, it'll give you hope. And begin to pray very specifically for the members of your family and for nieces and nephews and grandkids and siblings, because it's the prayer that makes all the difference in the world.
So well said. Susan, it's been great having you here today. I wonder if you would mind closing us in prayer for the woman who says, I want to create a legacy in my family.
Sure. Thank you, Lee. Father, we are so thankful that you've put us in families. And Father, you were in the first family, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So family is a passion for you. And Lord, family not only includes married and children and grandchildren, but family really means the church, and it includes singles of every age. So Lord, I pray that we would not only focus on our own families, which is our natural first passion, but that we would include singles into our families. And Lord, some of our families are really broken. And Father, you came for the broken, and you came for the hurting. And Lord, I pray for our listeners today that you would give them hope, that you would give them hope, and that you would give them a vision for how to start small, but how to remember that you are a big God for whom nothing is impossible. Father, as you promised us in Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Lord, you can redeem any family. And so we ask you in faith to do this in all of our families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Susan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been great fun.
Well, friends, are you ready to spend your creativity on engaging your family? We want to hear what you're doing with your tribe to win their hearts to Jesus and each other. So be sure to drop us a note or tag us on social media at Moms in Prayer, or email us at podcast@momsinprayer.org. We also hope you'll connect with today's show sponsor, Compassion International. You really do need to check out their mom and baby program on their website. My family has sponsored Compassion Kids for 10 years. Our family prays for our Compassion Kids from Guatemala, Ethiopia, and Bolivia every day. In fact, I really think it has helped us teach our kids about intercession. Check them out. We stand shoulder to shoulder with you in this time, friend. Moms are making the difference. Moms who blow bubbles, play Play-Doh, and grandmoms who are busy planning adventures for their families. Or moms who can barely lift up their heads. Moms just like you. See you next week.